You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strohman. I thought I'd take a moment just to talk a little bit about the Center of Sport Business and how we are making a difference on the university campus and beyond. It's an amazing opportunity to serve as the director of one of the new centers on campus that's focused on trying to empower students and give them the opportunity to get engaged in this $400 billion-plus sport business industry. Many people are surprised by the numbers there, but when you think about all the different ways that sport affects society, whether it's from our family relationships, community relationships, being involved with academic centers, the private sport industry, how it's touched people around the world, how it brings communities together. We're talking about different sectors like food and beverage, manufacturing, facilities, operations, logistics, marketing. There's just so much. And of course, we can't forget the financial side of sport. And so we're excited to be able to be on the campus, in particular at the School of Business, Keenan Flagler Business School at UNC Chapel Hill. And what we're doing is focusing on two pillars. And that first pillar is sport analytics. And we've heard that word tossed around. What is analytics? What do you mean when you're talking about numbers? Well, it only makes sense that when you want results, when you want a positive outcome, that you measure it. And so you have to think about how that measurement is happening in the world of sport. I define analytics as the creation, the examination, the management of unstructured data, and how you can take that unstructured data and make it make sense so that you can have a profitable outcome, so you can have an outcome that you can leverage for optimal results. And so when you apply that to the sport world, it could be on the performance side, as in the X's and O's. How do you get players to work with one another as a team? How you get individuals to be stronger, faster, and quicker? The actual physiological aspect of the athlete, and how, when they're involved in a team sport, how you can get them to come together, that you can create the right chemistry. And then on the other side of analytics is the business side. How do you make sure that you have fans come out to your arena, to your stadium, to your facility? That's about marketing, getting people's attention. Yes, that needs to be measured. You have to think about ticketing. You have to think about, once you get them inside of your facility, how do you keep them engaged and them excited? That's fan engagement and experience. And of course, we have to think about overall the business and the bottom line, revenues, profits, expenses, all those things we learned about in our accounting class. And so that's the first pillar with the Center of Sport Business at Keenan Flagler. It's about analytics. The second pillar is impact. How does sport influence society? There's no doubt there's great power in sport, but how do we touch and look at sport from the perspective of equity and inclusion? So those are the main features of the Center of Sport Business at Keenan Flagler: sport analytics and the economic, social impact of sport. How does sport affect society? You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strohman. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strohman. As the director of the Center of Sport Business at Keenan Flagler Business School, I'm excited to lead a wonderful group of students interested in the sport industry as a career. We've engaged in a number of programs and projects and research based on two pillars of sport analytics and how sport impacts society. We've got a great lineup for 2017, a number of events. We've already put on a Carolina Sport Court, which is a shark tank for sport-related ventures, And we had a great turnout, great excitement, listening to students from all across the state pitch their favorite startup venture to a group of distinguished judges. We've also hosted the Black Business Roundtable. This is a way during Black History Month that we can showcase African-American professionals in the industry. And it doesn't just focus on sport, although we did have two professionals, one Ben Ebong, a Kenan Flagler MBA graduate who has a startup called Coachable, where we connect coaches with young people who are learning their sport through a mobile platform. And secondly, we had Bruce Spate, the director of digital media for the New York Jets. So a great time was had by all at the Black Business Roundtable. Other events coming up this year include the Carolina Sport Business Club Knockout Tourney, where it's a basketball event where students will be able to compete for great prizes. And the proceeds will go to Extraordinary Ventures, which is a wonderful charity based right here in Chapel Hill. For those of you not familiar with Knockout, it's a fun event where people shoot from the free throw line and you try to make your free throw. If you miss, you hustle down and make your layup. But you need to make your layup or make your free throw before the person behind you does it. Hopefully people will come out to Wollin Gym on April 7th. The center also focuses on research, and we do that by talking about that very important pillar of how sport impacts society. So on April 21st and November 3rd, we will host Impact Symposiums. The Spring's Impact Symposium will focus on Black athlete philanthropy, why they give, where they give, and how they give. And again, that's Friday, April 21st. And then the Fall Symposium, which is on Friday, November 3rd, will focus on the evolution of women in business. And so we're excited about having this opportunity to deliver key events, programs, projects, and research with the center. Also want to mention some trends in sport. By way of Inc. magazine, I've noticed the number of trends that are taking place in the world of sport. Definitely, we're talking about a male-dominated industry, but the world of sports is definitely being disrupted by the participation of women, both as athletes and fans. So this trend is really interesting to follow. For example, the NFL's commercial campaign, Football is Family. And for the first time, it just focused on women and children. There were no men and not a pink jersey to be found. I think we all know the power of soccer in this area in particular, since we have so many great universities and programs and interests. But the Women's World Cup became the first most watched soccer event in United States television history, and it surpassed the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup. Also, Sports Illustrated, that coveted Sportsman of the Year award, due to the success, long-term success, of Serena Williams, they changed the name to Sportsperson of the Year. Another trend to pay attention to is fan engagement. Research shows that over 83% of sport fans admit to checking their social networks while watching live games, and sport properties are definitely trying to find different ways to create more engagement with fans. For example, there's technology now in a new platform called Game Golf that allows professionals to track their swings and share that information with fans on social media. Also, NASCAR has implemented a digital cockpit where now you can have interactions between fans and drivers. I'll also mention a trend of mobile ticketing. No longer do we look for that paper copy. Everything's about doing it on your phone. And, of course, some people might be upset about that because now you don't have that unexpected collector's item with a ticket. But as this technology continues to grow and develop, the value of the data can be exchanged digitally through ticket transactions. The last trend I'll mention is virtual reality. And the NBA has already made history when the league kicked off the 2015-16 season as the first league to broadcast a live professional sports game in virtual reality. It's used as a training tool now by colleges and professional teams, as a training tool by putting players in an interactive 360-degree environment, and you don't even have to be on the field. And lastly, college programs are starting to use VR for recruiting. How about slipping on a headset to take an official visit on campus without ever leaving your home? These are all the neat things that are happening in the world of sport, and I hope you continue to be engaged and get involved and participate. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. In light of President Trump's campaign pledges, his executive orders, and the polarization of United States citizens into groups of red versus blue, young versus old, urban versus suburban versus rural, and Tea Party versus progressives and Bernie supporters, it's time to discuss politics and sports. Or perhaps it's a conversation that has never stopped from the beginning of time, when people first began to turn exercise and movement games into competition with scoring. Today's sports and often front-page headlines feature a number of bold, head-turning stories of how athletes are using their national and worldwide status to draw attention to their cause and values. How about some cases in point? For example, the NFL Seattle Seahawks defensive end Michael Bennett. He made headlines when he pulled out of an Israeli government-sponsored trip to Israel for NFL players, demonstrating support for Palestine. An NFL quarterback, we all know this story, Colin Kaepernick, who, both financially and visually, he kneeled during the playing of the national anthem. He was supporting the Black Lives Matter movement, of course, which inspired many players and citizens throughout the country at all levels to take similar actions or to share their backlash. And at least six New England Patriot players now say they won't even visit the White House for a traditional Super Bowl celebration. It's a protest against President Trump and Trumpism. Stars such as defensive end Chris Long, running back LeGarrette Blount, defensive tackle Alan Branch, linebacker Donta Hightower, safety Devin McCourty, and tight end Martellus Bennett, who's been very vocal over a number of issues over the years, are all boycotting the visit. Now, this didn't start with these guys. Remember, Tom Brady, the star quarterback, Hall of Famer, no doubt, he raised lots of attention when he refused to go to the White House when President Obama was in office. And it's no secret that New England coach Bill Belichick is an ardent supporter of President Trump. I think we can all go back in time and remember, arguably, the most powerful statement of politics involved in sport. Yes, the 1968 Olympic Games in Mexico City, when African-American athletes, Tommy Smith and John Carlos, during their medal ceremony, they raised a black glove fist and kept them raised until the Star-Spangled Banner anthem had finished. Many don't realize that white Australian silver medalist Peter Norman was part of the protest, too. It's an amazing moment in time, and I hope you take the time to watch the footage and research the many, many interviews and documentaries on the impact of that event on society today. Many young athletes, many coaches, many people involved in sport will go back to that moment in time, led by Dr. Harry Edwards, distinguished sociologist, who said, that made a difference. That's what inspired my parents, my grandparents, and now I feel that today. And I feel that it's important to make a statement with the platform that I have. So here we are today. Some people are happy that athletes are speaking up. Some folks feel that we need even more celebrity power. You gain immediate attention when you have a celebrity involved in your cause. Many people love cause marketing. And athletes shouldn't be denied the opportunity to exercise their democratic rights. No one in the United States should be told to be quiet because he or she has a unique gift or talent in another field or line of work. If you have the knowledge and passion, why be stifled? If you're at work and you feel a certain way, should you keep that quiet? Or should you be able to use your platform as an employee of such company How much are your rights stifled based on your employment? Isn't that the fashion of the democracy we cherish, to speak up and to have a voice? Well, there are those who feel that the athlete should stick to his craft, playing sports. You're just here to entertain me, not share your politics. In fact, your politics might make me want to turn the channel, leave your sport team, and not follow you. The athlete, he or she is a dumb jock with little knowledge or insight into the so-called real world of life. Well, should I remind these people about the power of sport and how the research confirms the obvious? Sport participation, amongst many other things, builds confidence, determination, communication, leadership, teamwork skills. I could go on and on. Learning an NCAA Division I playbook is similar to the study required for the writing of a thesis. It's that arduous. It's that time demanding. And it requires a lot of analysis. But also, it teaches equity and justice sport participation. And the myth of meritocracy is clearly exposed in sport participation. There are many great examples of great scholar athletes. People like Bill Bradley, a Princeton graduate, great NBA star, and former New Jersey State Senator. Pat Hayden, USC football star, Rhodes Scholar, and current athletic director there. And more recently, Myron Roll, All-American Florida State football player and current neurosurgeon. Let's stop boxing athletes into one corner. We ask them to stay in school, stay in college, and not leave early for the pros. Well, we can't have it both ways. When the athletes stay, they become informed. They learn from their peers. They gain independence. They also listen to their instructors. I disagree with my instructor. I agree with my instructor. Critical analysis, explain why, defend, support. Bloom's taxonomy. This is what happens when you stay in sport. They grow and they have opinions. They read and they listen to more than ESPN. They attend lectures, meet influential non-athlete professionals. Athletes become hungry when they stay in school and desire to win, to take on the cause, all outside of their sport. That is, they're feeding their competitive spirit to struggle, fight, and win. So let's continue to support athletes who decide to risk fan support and sponsorships to speak their mind. We might learn something more important than field goal percentage or red zone options. If they're willing to put their money where their mouth is, much more so than many of us in this country, I call that patriotism. In fact, the great literary genius James Baldwin said it best. I love America more than any other country in the world. And exactly for this reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually. Now that's a political slam dunk. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman.